mentioned Esperina this morning, or I got a message from her yesterday. She said, I asked her how things were going, how's the kids, heard anything about your court date yet, you know, just to see how she's doing. And she basically said, we're okay. You know, when I went over to Kosovo 3 weeks ago or whenever it was, I did give a gift, a financial gift to her father that someone gave to me, a woman gave to me to give to her, to help her with her situation. You know, she got moved from the refugee camp to an apartment. It's kind of dumpy, but she likes it because they have freedom. Kids aren't, or Lyric, her son, can go outside. And she don't have all these crazy guys looking at her. She said even the Swedish people scared of them people in the refugee camp. So she's in an apartment. So I gave a financial gift to her father to give to her friend as a girl going to go see her. So I want to know how's things going. And she said, oh, everything's okay. She'll get the gift next week. Her friend is coming. But yesterday, she said, we were at the hospital. They told us Leva has to be operated on as soon as possible. And the date of the operation is 12 September, which is Tuesday. She says, we are shocked and happy that the long-awaited time has come for Leva. No news on the immigration part of whether she can stay in Sweden or not. But apparently they're moving forward on the surgery. Now, what I want to share this morning, when I read this, it really struck me. When she said they were shocked and happy that the long waiting time had finally come for Leva. Now, I think I shared with you previously, when I first heard that she had been put into a refugee camp because she got her status changed in order to get the surgery in Sweden, Blarum, who is Esperina's brother-in-law, married to Fiola, who was here, Blarum told me that the doctor, they really like Leva, the doctor wants to help her. You know, there's no cure for muscular dystrophy. That was hard for the family to accept that. They were totally in denial. Understandable. That was right before COVID. Well, they're not in denial now because she is in the wheelchair. But she's also really twisted. And she's got some deformities now because of that, kind of like a hunchback. Poor kid. You know, she was only 7. Now she's 11. But Blarum told me the doctor looked her right in the face and he told her, if I do this surgery, there's 1% chance you'll survive it. 99% chance you'll die. So he looked Leva right in the face and he said, do you want me to do the surgery? And Leva said, yes, I don't have no life now. Yes. Blarum looked at me and said, I don't know if the doctor said that just to see what she'd say. She was shocked. Well, I was shocked. So when I went to Sweden and met with Esperina, she basically confirmed it. She told me that's what the doctor said to her. Now, this is the point, I guess, that I want to make. When I sat on Javid's porch 4 years ago, when they could not accept the fact that she was going to that she had muscular dystrophy, and there was a wheelchair in her future, and maybe even death, a terrible way to die. You know, I just saw one of the other young ladies that we helped with a wheelchair some years ago. She's still alive. Blarina. She's like 17 now. But she's so weak with her arms, she couldn't even receive the gift that Carolyn gave to me to give her. I had to literally place it in her hands because she couldn't lift her hands. And she can't hardly swallow now. She can't talk. Well, she won't talk in front of guests. She'll talk to her mom because she has to make all these weird sounds to be able to talk because her vocal cords. All these muscles we have. Muscular dystrophy attacks all that. Of course, she's not going to be able to breathe pretty soon. And you know what happens after that? Can't breathe. Where's God, man? How can God allow this? And for some reason, too, I found out it affects girls more than boys, even though I met some boys that have it. Over there, actually, because we deal with handy costs. Well, Eva's getting in the same way. She's losing strength in her arms. She can't walk. Her mom can get her up to sit on the toilet and then back to the wheelchair, and that's about it. So this surgery was only to put these steel rods in her back so she could sit up straighter. Now, I know they do that for various reasons. Obviously, Maggie went through that and Michael went through that. Now, it does help Michael with his breathing, but he doesn't have a muscle problem. His problem, obviously, was his brain injury. But Levin's got muscular dystrophy. They can sit her straight as they want to. That ain't going to help her in the long haul. That might give her some relief now, because if you don't get that posture straightened out, you know, you need all this diaphragm to be able to move. And if you're all twisted and she's in pain, and I think that's one of the things they're trying to do is help alleviate her pain. While I was there, her mom really kind of had to load her up with pain medication, which ended up knocking her out. She has to turn her in the bed and all that stuff. But for Esperina to say shocking news, you know, they got the news, you know, that we're happy. And I'm stepping back and looking at the whole thing, understanding that she doesn't really know God. Now, I went over a lot of information with her. She said, Mr. Steve, you give me a lot to think about. But I can tell when I look in her eyes that the only thing that she can see is her immediate situation. People are going through a lot of stuff out here, and sometimes when they're right up to their eyeballs in alligators, they really can't hear what you're trying to tell them about big picture things, because the only thing that we have to offer anybody, I can't heal her muscular dystrophy. The Lord could if he was walking around like he did when he was here. The apostles could. But Jesus made it very clear that all those physical infirmities parallel the spiritual condition, which was fatal. The eyes that couldn't see, the ears that couldn't hear, those unclean, you know, demon-possessed, dead. Because, see, people have eyes, but they can't see. And I'm not talking physical. All those physical infirmities parallel the spiritual condition. But Jesus makes the point that if you believe in him, if you've been born again, if you have participated in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the gospel, your eyes open and you live forever. Your ears that were closed now can hear and you live forever. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but now he's made you alive and you can live forever. You were unclean, now you've been cleansed. So is that window closed at the end of the first century? Don't get me wrong. You guys know this. When you talk about miracles of the New Testament, you're talking about setting aside natural law. Keep that straight. The Bible makes it clear we should pray for sick people, because we're supposed to care about sick people. He is the great physician. Now, what you won't see is the setting aside of natural law, calming the wind and the waves and cursing fig trees, or those lame that had never walked, or the blind, born blind, those who are dead, literally. Come on. I know this gets me going, and I don't want to get going. Those of you that have run medicals, and I'm one of them, Jeff and Rick and Patty and somebody else, Troy ain't here. You get on scene and there's a dead person there? Well, first off, hands off. I mean, unless you're there and they've still got a little life in them, go for it. But if you get there and they're dead on scene, you got to let the authorities know because they're coming. No, they don't always. It depends. And I'm not going to get into all the criteria that it depends. But if they're dead on scene, the police are going to show up. Probably fire rescue is already there. You know, if you're with the ambulance service, you know, you're there. Sometimes here locally when I was with Bellevue, if somebody was dead on scene and it was an old person under a doctor's care and all that jazz, they allowed the funeral home to come out there. The person could be pronounced basically over the phone. Sometimes the funeral home would say, hey, because you guys are on the scene, do you mind? You know, you're there with your ambulance. If you could put them in there and drop them off here at the funeral home, we'll give you $50. I don't know if they still do that anymore, but that's the way it used to be. Paperwork, 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 paperwork. Everybody had paperwork. Cops had paperwork, fire had paperwork, ambulance had paperwork, funeral home, paperwork, or maybe even the emergency room if you got them that far, paperwork. Yeah, right, they'll send a bill all right. If that dude shows up to work on Monday, somebody's going to notice. Somebody's going to notice. If that guy was dead on Friday night because he wrapped his car around a tree, and he shows up to work, somebody's going to notice. And there's going to be documentation that's going to prove that guy was dead, man. The doctor said he was dead. Everybody said he's dead. That ain't happening. Could Jesus raise a person like that? He raised Lazarus. He dead 4 days. Yeah. But we were all dead in our trespasses and sins, but he's made us alive if you're born again. That death is eternal separation from God. That's the big D. So we need our eyes open. We need our ears open. We need to be born again, to be cleansed, to be made alive. That's for the human race, by the way. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten. It's for the human race. Same plan, one size fits all, including Esperina. A mom with a disabled child, and she is desperate. I could not heal the child, but I went over a lot of scripture and I actually proved to her that, you know, human beings are eternal. We have a spirit that doesn't grow old. The body wears out, according to the Bible, point out the man wants to die, then the judgment. Our outward man is perishing, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but inward man being renewed day by day. This is a way of all the earth. And if Levites should pass, a child innocent, having no knowledge of good or evil, which comes with maturity, goes right to be with the Lord, to live forever. That's all part of God's great mercy. You know, you have to read the Bible to understand any of that stuff. Because one of the worst things that could happen is the loss of a child. But yet David, who lost a child and grieved so, the child was sick, wouldn't eat, laid on the floor for a week. Servants were all worried about him. Then the child died. The baby died. Well, the servants were worried about him now because look what he's doing, and he thinks the kid is sick. Now the child is dead. David saw them whispering. He said, is the child dead? They'll go, yes, the child is dead. So he gets up, cleaned up. He wants to eat. Servants are real confused now. They go, how is it you grieve so when the child was sick? Now the child is dead and you want to eat? He said, how did I know that maybe God would be merciful to me and allow that child to live? But now the child is gone. The child will not return to me, but I can go to the child. Jesus would say, God isn't the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. Meaning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the child, the kids. If you lost a child, the child is not dead. The child is alive. They're just not here. But you can go to them. Who gets to decide whether we live forever with God and holy angels, or we go into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? That's the only two choices you got, according to the Bible. Either live forever with God or outer darkness. Who gets to decide that? You do. I do. Why? Because God already decided, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance unto life. He said, I set before you good and evil, life and death. Now choose life, he said, that you may live. If you don't choose life, you get death by default. He's got to twist your arm. You don't want it? You can go eat of the fruit of your own way. You will. God ain't going to make you know him, love him, serve him, or be born again, or obey the gospel. You don't want it? That's why Jesus said, look, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, we need to enter at the straight, narrow gate here. Enter at that narrow gate, because wide is the gate, broad is the way that lead to destruction, Jesus said, and most are going in that way, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few will find it. What do you mean few will find it? Because they don't choose life that they may live. This is for all people, for all time. This message came into the world 2,000 years ago. So I really appreciate the time. I've known Esperina for 20 years. You know, 21, I guess, or whatever. She was here with Javed in this building years ago, 20 years ago. So, you know, it's not like the first time she ever saw me when I went there. She trusts me. But she's a human. And according to the Bible, that's not something everybody is just going to embrace right out of the gate. Now, according to the parable of the sower, some of that seed, when it's first cast, lands on hard ground where Jesus said the birds come and get it, but then he gives it behind the scenes. He said the devil come gets it. The devil sweeps that seed up, lest you pick it up and do something with it. He said the birds of the air get it. Or it lands in the shallow ground where there's no depth, springs up for a moment, boop, but then because it has no depth, it withers off and dies. Some goes right into the weeds, man. Now, why would he use a parable like that? Because sometimes it's hard for us to grasp spiritual things. So the parables were a great tool to take a physical example that people would definitely understand and then just go ahead and then take it on up to the spiritual side so people could get the meaning. All those people back then, and even people today, I know some people think food comes from Myers. But some people know, no, you have to actually grow it. And it comes from the garden, it comes from the fields. The kids might think it comes from Myers. I hope no grown-ups think it comes from Myers. But who knows? Milk comes from cows, by the way. Just in case you didn't know that. Jesus, all those things were built into this creation when the earth was built, founded. When God created it, he put all those principles in there for later, for teaching. So the seed, the word of God, is the incorruptible, uncorruptible seed that is to be sown in the hearts of people. But those heart conditions, you as a sower have no control over that. The individual, either they're hard-hearted or they're shallow, or they get all caught up in the cares and the affairs of this life. They bring no fruit to fruition. They don't bring, it chokes out. And those who are of the good and honest heart, who receive the word, they bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 90. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You have no control over that when you're sowing the seed. So I throw seed all over the place. Esperina said, you gave me a lot to think about. But back to her current situation. In her message to me, she was shocked, and I think she was meaning that like happy shocked, because then she says, we're so happy that Leva's going to get her surgery. But what makes me so sad is because of having read through the scripture so many times, got the bigger picture, blah, 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 and I know she can't know what she don't know. I'm feeling sad for her because she's looking for any little bit of hope. All she's looking for now, she even told me, is quality of life for Leva. Just even some quality of life. Forget about the muscular dystrophy. That is a fact, and she has it. And that disease is progressive. Now, sometimes it tapers off, and as far as you'll get is a wheelchair. But sometimes death. You don't survive it. So she's holding on and happy about some little quality of life for Leva, to maybe not be in so much pain or to have her spine straightened out and some of the other deformity. And it makes me sad. She's willing to settle grasping for any little thing. I get it. She's a mother. She loves that girl. She told me, I will do anything for my daughter. Because she did, I think, some things probably not on the up and up to even get there in the first place, to get the medical people working with her. And then she had to tell some fibs to get her status changed so she could get the surgery, which is really ultimately not going to benefit her one bit. And to be happy with that. You know, I read this quote a long time ago. I don't remember in what book or whatever the heck it was even in. About people who huddle. Many people huddle in the pale light of an insufficient answer to a question they're afraid to ask. Say it again, in case you're taking notes. Many people huddle in the pale light of an insufficient answer to a question they are afraid to ask. Why settle for a pale light? Why settle for an insufficient answer? Ask the question. Don't be afraid. Ask the question. Get the answers. Why rip yourself off? Why hold on to a false hope? You know, that day's going to come anyway to reveal. You know, if you've been lied to, you believe lies. The day is going to come when the truth is going to be known. And all them lies and all those things you wanted to believe. So many people want to look at this world and look at it the way they want it to be. We need to look at the world the way it is. This world is created. The evidence is absolutely overwhelming. But right up here in a public school, they'll tell you, yeah, tell the young people, they're hairless monkeys. Hairless monkeys. some accident of nature, by some weird time and chance. I'm not going to get off into all that. Look in a microscope. Look in a telescope. You look anywhere you want. The Bible tells us right in Romans chapter 1, the evidence of the existence of God is so clearly seen that the Bible says that the people are without excuse. We are not hairless monkeys. Because if you're a hairless monkey, you have no value. You know, that's a question on everybody's mind. Who am I? Where did I come from? Do I have any value? Any purpose for me? Is my life significant in any way? If you're a hairless monkey, the answer to that is no. You ain't worth nothing. You're an accident. There is no purpose for you. You weren't designed. You weren't created. You just come out of the swamp, man. You know, maybe you crawled out of there somewhere a bazillion years ago. That is a big lie. It's taught right here. And it's taught all the way through. In fact, it's taught all over the world. In all the schools of higher learning. You think the people are teaching about God in them schools? And creation and purpose and significance and value. Ephesians 1, I already said it many times. All you got to read the first 13 verses. Answer the question on everybody's mind. Who am I? Why am I here? Do I have any value? My life significant? Any purpose for me? Why huddle in the pale light of an insufficient answer to a question you're afraid to ask the question? I don't know. She's wonder if Leva has the surgery and she dies. Well, that wouldn't be a big surprise. That's the way of all the earth anyway, eventually. How about having some hope now? How about having hope? Well, that's what she told me when I first went over there to Sweden. I have no hope. I'm destroyed mentally, physically, or emotionally. And now she's happy? Because he got a surgery date to a surgery that could kill her. And even if it doesn't kill her, I can't even imagine, you know, Maggie, I'm sure you could fill us in, what that's like trying to recover from that surgery, having steel rods put up your spine. No, thank you. She's 11. She's going to have to go through that. So now what, then she'll sit up straighter in her wheelchair? To a disease that's going to destroy her? Makes me sad. Reminds me, I showed you all that picture of what Anya sent me about the Ukrainian soldier that was released with many other soldiers in a prisoner exchange. Russians and Ukrainians swapping prisoners. All the Ukrainians had been tortured, starved, and beaten. The picture that was on the bulletin that I shared, and I know I've actually used it in other places. I had it put up on the screen in some places. Because the way that Ukrainian soldier, he's cradling an apple. There's a bag in front of him. Apparently, when the prisoners were released, they were given like a gift bag. And you can see he's looking, he's cradling this apple. And the way he's looking at it, like he's worshiping it, he is breaking down emotionally because there's two pictures. You look at the next picture, and you can tell from the top of the apple, he bit the apple. He ate it, part of it, took a bite, and now he's sobbing. Poor man is absolutely broken. Whatever them Russians did to him, where's God? Where's God? Well, he's right there where he's always been, where he will always be, close by, according to the Apostle Paul in Acts 17. He said, you need to feel for God. You need to seek for God and find him. He's not far from any one of you because in him we live, we move, we have our existence. Some of your own poets, Paul said, have said that. It's obvious it's so true. Jesus said, ask, you receive. Seek and you will find. Knock. It'll be open to you because everyone, Jesus said, that asks, receives. Everyone that seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks. Those aren't my promises. I can't make those guarantees. But Jesus said scripture can't be broken. And Jesus said the word of God is truth. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word ain't never going to pass away. My word will endure forever. These promises is for everyone. Oh, but they would rather huddle in a pale light to an insufficient answer to a question. They're afraid to ask. Ask it. Don't be afraid. Why would you want to huddle in a pale light? Why would you want to huddle in the fog with all this unknown and live here too? This is a dangerous place, man. Nobody skates down here. Not even Americans. I go overseas and some people think they want to come to America. Look at the southern border. These poor people, my heart aches for them. They've been fed a bill of goods. The American dream anymore is just about a lie. It's in the past. There's no hope for people in this world by just coming to the United States of America. A Belarusian guy told me one time, well, if we could be, you know, if we could come to America, we could become Christian too. I said, you don't have to come to America to become a Christian. You become a Christian right here. Because they all think America is Disneyland. They think money grows on trees, and Americans don't have no problems. I don't think I need to tell anybody in this room that ain't true, because you live here. I tell this guy, I said, where are Americans supposed to go? The moon? Our hope is not here. The prophecies from the Old Testament and carried out all the way and fulfilled in the New Testament is that the kingdom of God would come, ushered in, brought in by the Messiah. A kingdom that would never be destroyed. A kingdom could not be shaken. And you're born again. You are added by the Lord into that kingdom as saints. A garden variety Christian in the Bible is called a saint. Not some special buddy person shot out of a cannon somewhere. I was looking, I was reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I thought, you know, this almost doesn't even make sense. The Christians were under a lot of persecution, and Paul says, look, you're going to suffer. Well, verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations which you endure. That's what Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world and so will you. Which is a manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, Paul said, that you may be counted worthy for the kingdom of God for which you suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God, and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Go ye into all the world. Preach this good news. Preach the good news to every creature. Those who believe it and are immersed will be saved. If they don't, they'll be condemned. But what caught my eye when I was reading this the other day, the Lord's coming back, flaming fire, and taking vengeance on two basically classes of people. One, those that don't know God. I set before you good and evil, life and death. You have to choose life to live. If you don't choose life, you get the darkness by default. How much plainer can that be? Hey, if they're offering a great job here in town somewhere, great benefits, you know, good pay, all these wonderful things, it's, all you got to do is go down and apply for it. They're hiring. And you sit there and you need a job, by the way, let's say you really need the job, and I'm telling you, it's right there, wide open, you'd qualify, and they're hiring, benefits, retirement plan, medical, good wages, and you need the job, but you don't go down and apply? And you're going to get mad if you don't get it? What do you expect him to do? Come to your house? He's coming back in flaming fire to those who don't know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the verse that got me. Gospel. You know, that means good news. Why wouldn't anybody want the good news? Maybe it was the word obey. Look, he does the heavy lifting. We do very little, in my estimation, for what he offers us about the opportunity to start all over with a clean slate, to be born again. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Paul said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have a whole new potential. You're no longer considered in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwell in you. But if anyone don't have the Spirit of Christ, he said he ain't his. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he'll give life to your mortal body, spiritual life. You should be totally dissatisfied with your life of the past. Come on, this world is dark. Nobody escapes the darkness. All are under condemnation because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, the Bible said, is death. That's always been true since the beginning. It told Adam and Eve, the day you partake of that tree, the knowledge of good and evil, the day you die. That day comes when your maturity kicks in, when your eyes open to know good and evil. Then your sin separates you. Paul says, what happened to him? Read it in Romans chapter 7. I was alive apart from the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Died, he's writing. What did he die? He died the death of Adam and Eve. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's supposed to be good news? Good news. You know, this is kind of scary to me, but you know, Jesus said in Big John chapter 3, you got to be born again of water and spirit in order to perceive and to enter into the kingdom of God. But it's what he says when he says in John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is scary to me. That the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen, even done in God. I don't know how anybody can love that darkness out there. I guess I just wimped out. I just caved, man. I was as worldly as you could get and drinking all the time. And I was sick of it. I hated my life. Jesus said, you have to hate your life in this world in order to say, I'll just give you that verse. I'm just turning Big John 12. I know I'm out of time, too, by the way. I'm aware of that. Verse 25, Big John 12 and 25. If anyone, well, no, verse 20, yeah, 25. He who loves his life here, well, you're going to lose it. You like it here? You're going to lose your life. That's just a fact. Now, you understand the context. He's talking about of the world. He said, look, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He calls us out of the darkness and into the light. Apart from the world, Be no longer conformed to this world, Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You put on a new man. Okay. Verse 25, you love your life here, you're going to lose it. If you hate your life in this world, you can keep it for life eternal. You got to want to come out of the world. You got to want to come out of that old way. But it says here, we read it, some of the people, they love the darkness. How can anybody love the darkness here? Their deeds are evil, man. Do you read about so many cartel guys and all that? They love that. They're the killers, man. Well, they're going to have a rude awakening. But here's the deal. So many people, they don't like it here, but they won't come to the light. They huddle in the pale light of an insufficient answer to a question they're afraid to ask. Ask the question. There's no hope here. And it really made me sad to think of Esperin, who wants it so bad for her child, she's willing to hold on to any little bit of scrap of something, even if it's a temporary fix. Because at best, even after she goes through that, if she survives it, the pain, I'm sure, will be a terrible time in recovery. Before what, she can sit up straight and maybe not feel so much pain? While she still has muscular dystrophy and getting weaker and weaker and weaker every day. Come on. I get it. I understand it. Because really, I mean, bottom line, I believe Esperine is a, you know, she's a decent person for sure. She's human. And she's a mom. And she's totally distracted at the moment, which, hey, okay, that's all part of it, I guess. If we're going to be able to be there for people, though, we have got to be understand all this and how the dynamic works. And realize that there are the different grounds for sowing the seed and all that stuff. There could be limitations. I get that. You can't make nobody accept this truth. Jesus couldn't get people to follow him, and they walked away. And people will still do that today. Expect that. Know that. But I'll tell you what. It doesn't. It's still grievous to me. I don't want people getting ripped off. And unfortunately, they ripped themselves off. But God willing, we will pray for her. Pray for Leva. Pray for this situation. That maybe, because she did ask for prayers. Esperina did. She said, please pray. Well, that's a good thing. So we'll pray. And I just pray for opportunities, because no matter what, this all ends one day. But don't let this time pass by in that pale light. If you feel like at times you don't have all your questions answered, you're struggling, you still don't know what's going on, ask somebody that knows easy, that can maybe guide or encourage you. And how this dynamic works, because Jesus makes it clear. Only few will find it, because it really, people become religious, but they have no intention of denying self, taking up cross. They still like it too much here. I say there is nothing here for me. Not at all. You can have all of them. Jesus said, what will you give in exchange for your soul? What does a man profit if he gain the whole world, lose his own soul? Demas has forsaken me, having gone back to this present world. Some of these dudes got a lot of money in this world. Bible makes it clear, you ain't taking it with you. You are not going to take it with you. So give it up. Pray for Esperina and Levi. I'll keep you posted. That surgery is supposed to be Tuesday. And I hope maybe to hear something. And if we hear something, we'll try to get the information out. Thank you for your attention this morning.